Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Thursday, March 12th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. A new art exhibit in Fresno brings us close to the U.S.-Mexico border.
This is an installation that is honoring what I saw at the border. So it was a deported veterans putting up white crosses with the U.S. flag right next to them.
The exhibit puts a face to the immigration policy debate. We'll get a preview in just a moment, but first, these headlines. The FBI reportedly warned California law enforcement that Iran considered a series of drone attacks off the West Coast. It's in retaliation for the start of the war, targeting unspecified locations in California. That's according to an alert reported by ABC News. Governor Gavin Newsom commented on the development at a press conference on Wednesday.
As it relates to drone strikes, we've been aware of that information. We've been working collaboratively through the SOC, which we established right after the war began, the State Operations Center, working with the Office of Emergency Service, but also working locally to make sure we transmit any information that we have received. And we're aware of that, which has been reported, I think, by ABC7. We're aware of that information, and we transfer that information in real time to our local partners.
Newsom added that the state has initiated working groups to deal with concerns about potential drone strikes, but declined to comment further. An initiative seeking to establish a voter ID requirement in California is likely heading to the ballot this year. That's after the Republican-led campaign for voter ID says it's collected 1.3 million signatures to qualify. Proponents argue that voter ID is needed to restore integrity in the state's election process and combat voter fraud. Republican Assemblymember Carl DeMaio pushed for the measure.
We lack proper review of citizenship eligibility when registering individuals to vote.
But legislative Democrats say the policy disenfranchises voters who don't have government-issued IDs, mostly people of color. Lorena Gonzalez-Fletcher heads the California Federation of Labor Unions, which is expected to oppose the initiative.
Nobody wants voter fraud, but voter fraud doesn't exist. You know, there's individual, very, very, very few individual cases that are usually caught.
A 2025 UC Berkeley poll shows that a majority of California voters support requiring proof of citizenship each time a vote is cast. The head of the California Department of Motor Vehicles faced questions this week about why dangerous drivers are able to keep their licenses as the number of highway deaths increase. State DMV Director Steve Gordon offered few clear answers during a hearing on Tuesday. Gordon appeared for a rare Senate hearing on DUI penalties and traffic deaths. He said the system's complex and that he couldn't quickly provide basic data. Gordon said the DMV is reviewing its driver safety work. The questions follow reporting by our news partner CalMatters that shows many drivers keep their licenses after DUI convictions. Dow Chemical and Shell Oil will pay the Arvin Edison Water Storage District $230 million to settle a pollution lawsuit. The Kern County Water District alleged the company's contaminated groundwater with a chemical known as 123-TCP. Our news partner SJV Water reports the settlement is less than half the estimated cleanup cost. Several other nearby water districts are also suing the companies. This has been the warmest winter on record for much of Southern California and in higher elevations of the Sierra Nevada. Although valley temperatures were well above average, Prism Climate Group at Oregon State University notes that our area has seen several warmer winters in the past. That actually makes the San Joaquin Valley an outlier among western states from Texas to Oregon, which just experienced its warmest winter months in 131 years of record keeping.
Valley history is fascinating. Listen to KVPR's Central Valley Roots as we explore the stories of local people and places that make our community unique. Learn something new about our region. Listen to Central Valley Roots wherever you get your podcasts or visit kvpr.org/roots.
And now to our main story. The late Toni Morrison wrote an essay in 2015 called No Place for Self-Pity, No Room for Fear. In the piece, she recalls a friend's advice when she was down and depressed by the state of the world. He said to her, "This is precisely the time when artists go to work. Not when everything is fine, but in times of dread. That is our job." And that is what artist and professor Lisbeth de la Cruz Santana is doing.
So we're literally in a room where you get to see Playas de Tijuana, so the westernmost point of the U.S.-Mexico border, on your left.
I recently joined Lisbeth on the opening day of her exhibit titled Humanizar Historias, or Humanize History, in English. The exhibition is being shown at Arte Americas in downtown Fresno. I spoke with Lisbeth in a dark room. It meant to recreate a scene at the U.S.-Mexican border on July 4th, 2017.
So you're looking directly at the border fence. You're at the beach, right? So you're by the sand. You get to see the waves coming at you and just kind of experiencing that.
In this room, we see strings of light meant to imitate fireworks going off in the distance. And in front of them, something more somber sits at our feet.
And then this is an installation that is honoring what I saw at the border. So it was a deported veterans putting up white crosses with the U.S. flag right next to them.
In an environment where many immigrants are afraid of the current administration's deportation efforts, Lisbeth is using her art to tell the stories of those who've been deported. Besides this distinct scene, Lisbeth has several other areas in her exhibition. That includes the entry to the gallery space that's also been transformed into a simulation of the border wall. It has tall pillars topped with barbed wire and sand spread across the gallery. And on those daunting pillars is a mural, a face of someone who was deported from the U.S. Standing with Lisbeth nearly 400 miles north of the real border, we discuss her exhibit, and she starts with some background on what inspired her work.
So in 2016, when I started grad school at UC Davis, I became part of a research group called Humanizing Deportation, which we've helped facilitate digital narratives with immigrants who had faced deportation in Tijuana. But then eventually over time, I was already carrying stories of friends and family members who had DACA or were undocumented. And for me, that was just like a heavy thing, right? Of realizing that, well, I'm meeting deported people at the border. This could eventually become their life if nothing gets fixed in the U.S., right? But then that was 2016. This is 2026, right? Nothing really has improved, right? Specifically for undocumented individuals who grew up in this country. So at the border, I gravitated towards people who were brought to the U.S. when they were children and were deported as adults, meaning undocumented, people who overstayed their visa, or even people who served in the armed forces, or people who were legal permanent residents, which is the case of deported veterans too. So meeting real people for me was just like this drive to say, you know what, this is so unfair. Let me continue with humanizing deportation. But in 2019, I decided to start painting, because I myself needed something to process everything I was carrying, because it's heavy, right? You're hearing these stories from people that look like your family, people that come from places that you grew up in. It's hard to feel detached, which is oftentimes maybe academia might push for that detached researcher, but here for me, public scholarship became that like thing that helped me navigate grad school and just the work that I was doing, which is very social justice oriented.
When you walk into Arte Americas, your exhibit is the first thing you'll see as a visitor. It's really striking. Can you describe what visitors will see?
Yeah, so one of the things when I came in, I think it was December 15, and it was blank. Like, there was nothing up, right? So I was just like, okay, this is how it looks like, you know, a draft version. And something that as I walked into the main gallery, I was just thinking, it would be great if we could redo the border, but how do we do that? Obviously, I'm not going to do the whole thing because that's, you know, that's a whole intense job. So we ended up selecting a section of the border to highlight a story from someone from the Central Valley, which is Jairo Lozano. And he was actually the first portrait that we put up in the summer when I was working with Mauro Carrera, who's also from Fresno, and kind of realizing that the stories were being driven from the Central Valley to the border. So that became the focus, right? So let's really humanize and literally materialize the border in some sense. So we have the Playas de Tijuana border, another installation for the 4th of July. Same thing at the U.S.-Mexico border, where the deported veterans are honoring those who were exiled and passed away while being deported. And then El Paso del Norte, which is under the Santa Fe Bridge in Ciudad Juarez. So you get to experience three different borders recreated in the space that we have here.
And if you could describe it, I mean, it's the bars, like the border wall, as well as the barbed wire on top.
Right. So that was very intentional, right? I had questions about the barbed wire, right? Like, do I want to really like reproduce that in this space? But we have to keep it as truth as possible, right? So the bars for me was so important because I didn't want people to think that the border is actually a wall, because it's not, right? Like, it's so different as you move along the border, depending on nature and the environment. But here we're at the beach, and literally waves are hitting the bars, right? And you're on sand, so you get to see the sand. And that's the idea, right? For people to realize there's marine borders, there's borders like the ones you will see in Ciudad Juarez, which are mostly bridges. And then there's others, right? That now you get to start thinking and complicating the fact that a border fence is literally dividing stories and people. But through the portraits, what we're doing is mimicking what we did at the border, where we were gluing the strips of the materials that we were using to paint the canvases on and the portraits, so people could see the fractured stories that are being united again through the border fence.
And not to double down on this, but just to really envision for people, you were actually making these murals
right at
the border.
So yes, at the border. So we were doing, so specifically Playas de Tijuana, we worked during two different periods, 2019 and then 2021, at a makeshift, all of these things and spaces have been makeshift studios. So for Playas de Tijuana, I painted alongside storytellers represented in the mural, so meaning people who were deported, volunteers and family members who came from all over the U.S. And that was like a huge thing for me. And then during El Paso del Norte mural project, I painted it with my students in New York City. Shipped the portraits to Ciudad Juarez, well, to El Paso, crossed into Ciudad Juarez. And then for the deported veterans mural, the deported veterans are the ones who did the installation in Playas de Tijuana on the new border fence that was installed 2024. And then the most recent mural I painted once again with my students in New York City, but then the Fresno version was painted with Dream Center students along the Central Valley.
I have so many questions about deported veterans, but just to clarify, these are people who served in the military for the U.S. and then were subsequently deported?
Yes, exactly. So people who serve in the armed forces for multiple reasons, right? You get the more standard one, that is to give back to the country that they were raised in. Others because they believe the idea or the promise, because it's not a signed contract thing. It's a promise that you'll get citizenship and then maybe that will trickle to your family. So all of these beliefs of what the U.S. military has literally pushed, right, are contested to their stories, because after they're released from service and they're veterans now, they're vulnerable to deportation because they're not taken care of.
That was my conversation with artist and professor Lisbeth de la Cruz Santana. Lisbeth teaches Chicano studies at Baruch College in New York City. She grew up in Fresno and attended Fresno State. Her exhibit, Humanizar Historias, is on display at Arte Americas in downtown Fresno through June. You can learn more about the exhibit and find gallery hours online at arteamericas.org. And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube, but what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.